There are people that are difficult to love. In fact, there are people that don't even deserve your love because they're so difficult, because they've done such egregious things. What are, here in person, what are some of the things that have, that makes it hard to love a person? Grouchiness. Okay, so this table is going to represent you, the individual, okay? And grouchiness makes it hard for someone to love. Yes. What else? What makes it hard for to love a person?
Unforgiveness.
Okay. What else? Disrespect. Yeah, that's probably not my number one right there. What else?
Rejection.
Mm-hmm. What else?
Entitlement.
Oh, man. Oh, you're triggering me here. Oh, that's so frustrating. What else?
Abuse.
Yeah, that gets a good tower here, I think. What else makes it so difficult to love a person?
Control.
Oh, man. Controlling people. Oh, that's rough. What else? Keep thinking. I'll come back to you. April online here says, when the person has wronged you so bad and talks serious malice against you and your family, and yet you know you must show them love. Okay. There was a few there, so we'll add to our little sin tower here. Sins against us. Anything else you guys think of? You know, in America, what I love about Americans is that even if we have differences of opinions, especially in politics, then we're like, hey, that's cool. Hey, you like a different candidate? High five. Cool, right? Is that how we act? No! Sometimes it's hard to love people because they have the wrong politics. Anyone ever been betrayed before?
Yeah.
I've been betrayed before. That hurts. Hard to love somebody who has betrayed you. Anybody ever cost you money before? Yeah. Yep. And they don't care. They don't care. It's hard. Someone said in the first service, racism. They have a hard time loving people who are racist. Right? And we understand as Christians that all people, there's really one race, the human race. We're all made in God's image. And therefore, to think that based on skin color or ethnicity, that one group of people is better or worse than another, no, we're all made in God's image. It's an affront to the nature of God. But it's hard to love those people, isn't it? Someone who thinks that they're better just because of the way they look. Right? So we could go on. There are more. Oh, wait, hold on. Sharon's got something. Arrogance and prejudice. Oh, see, I could have waited for Sharon's answer. Yeah, arrogance and prejudice. Oh, man. Yeah, those are big ones, right? So if you have someone who is dumping, or a group of someones who is dumping stuff on you, it is hard to love them. It is. We know that we're commanded to love our enemies and pray for those who persecute us. We know that as Christians. But it's really hard if they're dumping on you to come over here and say, I'm going to love them. And the reality is, if they're doing most of these things, like malicious gossip, slandering your name, betraying you, they don't deserve your love. What have they done to earn your love? Absolutely nothing. And yet we're in a hard time because we understand in the Bible it tells us to love our enemies. We're commanded to do so. We're commanded to love all peoples. How can you love people who don't deserve it? How can you love people who have abused you or abused people you love? How can you love people who spread gossip and malicious slander about you? How can you do it? Because church, I can't do it. I can't. I'll be honest with you right now. The people who have dumped on me like this, who have treated me like this, who have slandered me, who have betrayed me, I can't do it. How can we love people who don't deserve it? We're in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, and John has an answer. He knows how hard it is. He knows the impossibility of loving people who don't deserve it, right? And it's easy to love people who love you, right? Like Darren, right? I love Darren. He loves it. You know, we've never had any serious problems or disagreements. Easy, right? All of you here and all of you that I've seen online, no problems, no big problems. None of you have dumped on me like this before, but there are people who have. And those people, I'll tell you right now, I can't. Your pastor can't love them. John knows that. That's why he wrote this under the guidance of the Holy Spirit. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. It's going to be a longer reading, but let's read along together. He says, "Dear friends, let us love one another because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. Love consists in this, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we remain in him and he in us. He has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and we testify that the Father has sent his Son as the world's Savior. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and the one who remains in love remains in God, and God remains in him. In this, love is made complete with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because he, as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. Instead, perfect love drives out fear, because fear involves punishment. So the one who fears is not complete in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, 'I love God,' and yet hates his brother or sister, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother or sister whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And we have this command from him: the one who loves God must also love his brother and sister." Easier said than done, right? Like, it's easy for me to love you guys. You guys, you know, like, we've had things, right? Like, we've had little frictions, but nothing serious. It's easy for me to love you because you love me back and you're lovely people and all that. The hard thing is when someone has come and they've injured me and they've dumped on me and they've sinned against me, or people that I care about. That's the impossibility, and that's why John has to write this. Interesting thing, the image John has given us here, N.T. Wright, the theologian, says it's kind of like this. It's the same door that opens for our love to God is the same one that we open to love other people. It's not like, oh, loving God's over here, and then I'm going to go over to the loving other people thing. No, if we love God, it's the same door that opens up to love him that we love other people. But it's hard, isn't it? How can we love people who don't deserve it? How can we love difficult people? And that's why John's writing this. He doesn't say people who don't deserve it. But of course, he's not saying, "Hey, Nathan, go love Darren," because, you know, like, he doesn't have to say, "Oh, okay, you know, yeah, we're cool." Right? Right? He doesn't have to command me to do that. That comes natural. But he's saying, you got to love your brother and sister. Well, what if they don't deserve it? What if they're difficult? What if they've sinned against me greatly? Doesn't matter. You got to love them anyways. You got to love them anyways. John starts constructing this image here, and we've heard this in Christian circles quite often, and it's a true statement, right? People have sinned against us. How can we love them? How can we possibly extend forgiveness to people who sin so greatly against us? And they have, and they don't deserve it, but how can we possibly do that? John starts to construct the argument that we hear all the time in Christian circles. He says, yes, look, they've sinned against you. But you and your sin against God is more like this. Right? So how can you possibly not forgive? How can you possibly not extend love when your sin against God is so much greater, so much bigger, so much taller, so much higher? How can you possibly do that? Right? And that's what we say. And so you see this, and, well, you're supposed to look at this and go, I've sinned so great, and he's forgiven me so much in Jesus Christ. And this is not anything compared to that. So by sheer force of will, I'm going to forgive them, and I'm going to show them love. Right? That's the image that we get. But that's not actually John's answer. He starts, he makes that point because that is the reality that yes, God's forgiveness for you in Christ Jesus is far greater than anything you can forgive somebody else. His love and affection for you is so much more undeserved than your love and affection for the person who's hurt you or hurt the people you loved. But that's not enough, and John knows it. It's not enough. Why? Because this is the deal, right? We define love in different ways, but love is putting aside your wants, needs, and desires for the greater good of another individual, right? That's the intellectual answer for it. But there's also affection, affection involved in love, which is like, no, don't get my heart involved in this. I just want my head involved in this. But the reality is, here's why we have such a hard time if we just stop it there and say, well, Jesus has forgiven me so much so I can forgive these people of this little bit. Because it's not a math problem. When someone has sinned against you, it's not a math problem, is it? It isn't. It doesn't feel like a math problem because it doesn't, math problems don't feel. Except for if you were me in college, I was crying in that one exam I had in the math class. But typically, there's no emotion in it. Stop making fun of me, Kristen. It's true. It was a rough day. There's no emotion in math. So you look at the math problem, you're like, yeah. But this is feeling. This hurts, doesn't it? It hurts when people lie to you, when they betray you, when they abuse you or other people. It's not a math problem. I know Jesus has forgiven me more than that, and I've wronged Jesus more than anyone could ever wrong me. But I feel deeply about the pain that I felt. So how can I show love to people who don't deserve it? John knew this. He knew the difficulty. That's why he gives us the answer in verse 15. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. How can you love people who don't deserve it? By confessing Jesus as the saving Son of God. By focusing on Jesus, the person of Jesus. And then he resides in you. Then you take on his character. Then you gain his power through the Holy Spirit. The image John has given us is not, it doesn't end here. He does say this, right? This is a true statement, but again, love is not a math problem. Even mathematicians would say love is not a math problem. Love is not a math problem. There's emotion, there's feeling, there's hurt involved. So the image isn't saying, oh, I feel guilty now. Jesus forgive me so much, so I got to do this. Balance the scales, I'll forgive. The image is, you can't do this because it hurts too much. The image is, you can't do this. I can't do it. In fact, this very week, oh my goodness, I'm getting ready for this sermon and I've got people dumping sinfully on me. And it's like, me, I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm going to show you how you're wrong. You're going to dump on me. Let me dump on you. You're going to tell me how terrible I am? Oh, you are far worse than me. Let me tell you. I'm going to dump back on you. And of course, I can't because this is the text. So what do I have to do? I can't just go, well, Jesus, forgive me. Because this hurts too much. The image John gives us, confess that Jesus is the saving Son of God, is you put yourself on Christ. You say, I can't do this. Nobody can. No living human being can. I'm putting myself on Christ. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. I love him because he first loved me. Not the other way around. I can't do this on my own. So you place yourself on Christ and you focus on Christ and you focus on who he is and your love for him. And as his love pours into you and as your love pours out for him, guess what happens? In the name of Jesus, you can then go back and say, God, this person wronged me. They sinned against me. They sinned against my family. They sinned against the people I love. I can't stand them. They're disgusting. They're despicable. I can't stand it. But then you go over and say, but Jesus, you died on the cross for my sins. You are the saving Son of God. Let me focus on your beauty. Let me focus on your love. Let me focus on loving you. And as his love pours in and out of you, in the name of Jesus, please, please help me to forgive. Help me to love. And then you don't move. What happens? Jesus moves you. And everything's forgiven. And then you find love. And that doesn't mean that you trust. That doesn't mean you don't allow room for justice in their life, right? Like, that's not like, you know, like if they've done something illegal, you can call the police. That's not unloving. But it means your outlook changed. While we were yet sinners, while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. There might be some of you watching online or here in the audience right now who think, well, you know, I can forgive. I can love people who are unlovely just by force of will. I've done it before. I can do it again. All I got to do is find the good in every person. There's no scientific method to my observation here, but anecdotally, the people I've talked with that have never experienced deep hurt before. They have never been sinned egregiously against. Their children have never sinned against them. They've never felt real betrayal. They have never experienced a financial loss at the hands of another person that has put them in financial ruin, not just for a moment, but for the rest of their lives. They haven't lost a job because of malicious gossip that was spread around them. They have not contracted a disease because of another person that they have to now live with for the rest of their life. There are some people, by sheer force of will, you can say, oh, you know, they're kind of, they're a little prickly and, you know, they're a little frustrating, but I can choose to love them, right? You could do that. But if someone has hurt you deeply or hurt, or even worse, hurt someone you love, you can't by force of will. I can't by force of will. And that's why John says, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God remains in him and he in God. And we have come to know and to believe that the love that God has for us in God, you have to be in Christ. You have to be in God in order to forgive, in order to love people who don't deserve it because they don't deserve it. You have to have his character, and I can't have his character apart from Christ. If you want to be able to love people that don't deserve it, you have to have the character of Christ. And to have the character of Christ, you have to focus on Christ. You have to be found in him. You have to cry out to him. You have to depend on him. There's no other way to do it. How can you love people who don't deserve it? You can love people who don't deserve it by confessing Jesus as the saving Lord, as the saving one, the saving Son of God, the one who's come to wipe away our sins. The truth is you are all different individuals. And so when you come across someone that you don't love and you know that Christ is calling you to love them, you are going to connect to Jesus in different ways. Certainly through prayer and scripture, number one. You can't not do one of those. But sometimes you have to take a breath and go, okay, how do I experience God's love and beauty and passion? For some of you, that might be a project, right? Gardening, maybe indoors right now. And you see the beauty of Christ through his creation. Some of you, that might be a project like building a Jeep, right? And you see, it reflects God's design when you see people design vehicles. Others of you, it might be listening to music. And there are songs that show you Christ's beauty and his love for you. And it makes you love him more. Some of you that will be looking at artwork. Some of you that will be reading a book, whether fiction or nonfiction, but something that shows you the beauty of who Christ is. Some of you that will be watching movies. Right? Anybody have a movie that makes you cry all the time, every time you watch it, no matter what? What's the movie that makes me cry every time, no matter what, how many times I watch it? Oh, Babe makes me cry. Yeah. The Dark Knight Rises. I don't know why. Last half of that movie, I'm in tears. It's weird. But something, it's the self-sacrifice thing, which reminds me of Jesus. You need to spend some time, first in scripture and in prayer, but also however you're bent, whatever moves you emotionally, right? If it's a math problem, do some math, right? I don't know, because we're all different. But something that moves you emotionally to reflect on Christ's beauty and Christ's love, you have to spend time, just ratchet down and love him. And as you love him, then go back to this person, then go back in prayer with this person in mind and say, God, help me to love this person. And it's not a matter of looking at a math equation where you're like, well, you know, our stacks are a little bit different here. It's not the math equation. The math equation will never get you there if it's a serious sin against you or someone you love. You have to put yourself on Christ. And in the name of Jesus, in the power of the Spirit, to the glory of God the Father, you have to allow them to dump out the things you have against them so that you're able to love them the way Christ loves us. It's impossible to do it apart from Christ. And I am a terrible example in and of myself of how it is to love your enemies. Because I know that I can't do it. I need to put myself on Christ. I'm hoping that the sermon today has brought people to mind. I hope there's people running through my mind right now. None of you. But I really hope that God has brought people to your mind right now. Because we're about to take the Lord's Supper together, where we reflect on Jesus' death on the cross for our sins. Jesus willingly laying down his life because he loved us. John says it here in John 4. This sounds familiar. Verse 9, God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his one and only Son into the world so that we might live through him. It's very similar to John 3:16. For God loved the world like this, that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. If you ever doubt that God loves you, right? Like you have an illness that'll never go away. Your finances are gone. Everyone reviles and hates your name. And you go, oh, God must not love me because all these terrible things are happening in my life. John 3:16 and John 4:9. No, God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God so loved the world. God loved the world like this. Never doubt that Jesus loves you, because if you ever doubt it, go back to the cross. That's what John's saying to us in John 3:16. You can know that God loves you because Jesus died on the cross, even if everything else has fallen apart. You know he loves you because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. This is the time to focus on that love as we are taking the Lord's Supper together. We get to realize and re-experience as God is bringing those enemies of yours to mind, as he's bringing them to my mind. Another one just popped into my head I haven't thought about in a while ago. That's got to be the Spirit of God, because I wrote a list already. As he brings enemies to your mind, as he brings people that you can't bring yourself to love, as we take the Lord's Supper together, as we reflect on Jesus' sacrifice, his love for you, so to turn around and at the end of the service, we'll take the Lord's Supper, we will sing a song of worship to our God, and at the end of service, bring that person to mind and say, Lord Jesus, help me to love them. That doesn't mean trust, that doesn't mean your best buds, but it does mean love. How can you love people who don't deserve it? You can love people who don't deserve it by confessing Jesus as Lord, as the Son of God. If you can't forgive someone, focus on Jesus. Let's pray. Father, as we move into 2021, help us to be people characterized by love. Father God, you know the grief that I have experienced and many have experienced, that Christians in 2020 have been characterized by anger, by their frustrations. And you have called us to be characterized by love, to love the unlovely, to love the unlovable, to love people who don't deserve it in the name and power of Jesus. For 2021, we repent of the hardness of our hearts. for 2021, Lord, break into these hard minds and hard hearts. Help us to take on the character of Christ as we cling to him, so that we might be known by our love for one another and our love for the unlovely. May we be people of justice, but people of love as well. Father, I pray for all those people that are coming to mind right now that we just can't bring it in our hearts to love. We cling to Christ. We cling to his beauty. We cling to his sacrifice and his resurrection. In his power and in his name, help us to love those that don't deserve it. Prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.